Today, my dear faithful, is the first Sunday of Lent. And the epistle is taken from St. Paul's second epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 6. Brethren, we do exhort you that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, in an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in the day of salvation have I helped thee. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Let us give no offense to any man, that our ministry be not blamed. But in all things, let us exhibit ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience in tribulation, in necessities and distresses, in stripes and prisons, in seditions and labors, in watchings and fastings, in chastity, in knowledge, in long-suffering, in sweetness, in the Holy Ghost, in charity unfeigned, in the word of truth, in the power of God, by the armor of justice on the right hand and on the left, through honor and dishonor, through evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet known, as dying and behold we live, as chastised and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as needy yet enriching many, as having nothing and possessing all things. And the Holy Gospel, taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 4. At that time, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was hungry. And the tempter coming said to him, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Who answered and said, It is written, Not in bread alone doth man live, but in every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him up into the holy city, and set him upon the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He hath given his angels charge over thee, and in their hands shall they bear thee up, lest perhaps thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil took him up into a very high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and said to him, All these will I give thee, if, falling down, thou wilt adore me. Then Jesus said to him, Begone, Satan, for it is written, The Lord thy God shalt thou adore, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. And thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. All these will I give thee, if falling down thou wilt adore me. Then Jesus saith to him, Begone, Satan, for it is written, The Lord thy God shalt thou adore, and him only shalt thou serve. Words taken from the Gospel of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear faithful, there is an interesting old fable about the mighty Hercules of Greek mythology. It concerns his first adventure, and it decided his entire future. One day, Hercules set out from his homeland when he came to a fork in the road. Two paths lay before him, but he was unsure which to take. He looked down one path and saw a gentle slope that led through flowery meadows toward the darkening distance. The other path rose sharply up, leading over rough stones, but it lost itself in the glowing sunset. Hercules sat down, trying to decide which path he would follow, when two maidens came toward him. The first was tall and graceful. She was wrapped in a snow-white mantle and walked calmly as she drew near Hercules. The other maiden was tall as well, but she wore a crimson dress, and she hurried along, trying to outrun the first woman. And yet, even amidst her haste, the second woman kept stopping to look at herself and admire her own beauty, even that of her own shadow. Despite these stops and starts, she did manage to reach Hercules first. The woman in red rushed to him and exuberantly held out her arms as if she was a long-lost friend. She exclaimed to him, "I see you are hesitating over what path to follow. Follow me along this flowery path, and I will make it a delightful and easy road." Then she hurriedly poured forth promises to Hercules of delights of every kind, and said he would never suffer a shadow of annoyance with her in his company. Finally, when she ended her litany of promises, she reached out her arms to him again, and with all sweetness exclaimed, "You will never labor, but always live in joy and ease. O come, I give my followers liberty and delight." Surprised and overwhelmed by this pouring forth of generous promises, Hercules asked this woman, "What is your name?" "My friends," she said, "call me Happiness, but my enemies name me Vice." Just as Vice finished saying this, the other slower maiden drew near. She glided toward Hercules and said, "I too would lead you. My name is Virtue, and I will lead you along this path, the path of labor. If you follow me, you will be honorable and noble, and you will do great and illustrious deeds. I do not promise vain delights. Instead, I warn you of the trials ahead. If you wish to accomplish heroic deeds, you must teach your body to obey your mind. See, Hercules," interrupted Vice, "how difficult a road she offers you. I will lead you by a short and easy path to happiness. And what lasting happiness have you to offer?" asked Virtue. Virtue then rebuked Vice, saying, "In youth, your followers grow lazy in body and weak in mind. In old age, they are dissatisfied, ashamed, and oppressed by the memories of their crimes. Then, as they near their end, they lay themselves down in despair." Then Virtue turned to Hercules and beseechingly said, "But those who follow me achieve greatness and enjoy sweet peace in their conscience. My friends remember their past with contentment." Hercules, my dear faithful, had the choice between these two guides, Vice and Virtue, just as we do as well. Today's gospel shows us who these two guides actually are. One hastens towards us, appearing powerful and generous, kingly and kind. His enemies name him Satan, Beelzebub, or simply the enemy. But he would prefer you to know him as friend. He offers three great gifts: the world, the flesh, and the devil. Just as these three gifts were offered to Christ when he was in the desert. You see, when the devil asked Christ to work a miracle, to satisfy his hunger, Satan offered the gift of the pleasures of the flesh. He offered bread to satisfy Christ's hunger. Then when Satan told our Lord to jump from the pinnacle of the temple, he was tempting Christ to devilish pride, Because the people would see our Lord descend amongst them, and they would accept this as a glorious miracle. When Satan was rebuffed again, he offered his final gift. He asked Christ to bend his knee to him, the devil, and Satan would give our Lord the entire world. By this, Satan offered the gift of worldly possessions. Just like the maiden vice in the story, Satan made many delightful promises with no mention of suffering. So too the devil today tempts men with worldly honors and possessions, as well as the gratification of the flesh through pleasures of sense. Yet his followers are never truly satisfied in this life. Though they may seem to have so much, they always hunger for more, and they recall their past with such pain and remorse. And in payment for these passing empty presents, Satan takes his followers' eternity. Forever he will terrify, torture, and torment the souls who follow him. But thank God, there is another guide in this gospel, one who may not appear kingly or powerful. For our Lord, the other guide, has spent the last 40 days in the desert without food or drink. His lips are parched and cracked. His clothes are covered with dust. He is utterly exhausted. This is our Lord's way, the path he offers, the path of following the will of God, no matter the cost. He thus forewarns his followers of the cross, and he gives the necessary help to carry it. His way appears so difficult at first, but then notice how calm and assured his answers are. Our Lord had perfect peace, the peace of a good conscience. Then, after his trials, the angels came and ministered unto him. At the end of our Lord's way, then, the path of virtue, his followers will have the reward of the just, that is, the perfect and endless happiness of heaven. To help them on the way, he gives them the sacraments and grace, his teaching, his example, his very life. See him as a little child shivering in the cold, and know he suffered this for you. See him in the desert, fasting, exhausted for love of you. See him carrying his cross to his death, shedding every last drop of blood for your salvation. And now he asks you to carry your cross alongside him. Though the road will be difficult at times for those who follow Christ, they are nonetheless truly happy. In fact, they alone are the truly happy. Whether they receive great or little in this life, pleasure or pain, they are always content with what they have. Then, when death approaches, they are consoled with peace of conscience and are rewarded with the everlasting happiness of heaven. These are the two guides offering their two paths, vice and virtue, Satan and Christ. This is the choice we all face every day. Let us, my dear faithful, not take the path of the world, as so many do today. So many gladly accept the devil's bargain and seek only worldly honors, possessions, and pleasures of sense. This cannot be our life. We can have no part in this, and must show we have no part by how we live our lives. We must reject the devil and all his easy gifts, and that means rejecting them by how we live our lives. This Lent, then, really resolve to follow our Lord in carrying his cross to Calvary. To do this, one must reject the devil's path and turn from what he offers, especially by turning away from the near occasions of sin. When preparing for confession, think, is there a particular occasion that has led me into sin? Is there some particular person, place, or thing that is behind the sins I have committed? Some form of entertainment, movies, television, music, or some place of entertainment? Or is it a friend who really is not a friend to your soul and invites you down the road of vice? These are the occasions when the devil makes his offer to you. Avoid them as you would the devil himself. Do not be one of the millions in our world, falling for these base and empty gratifications. These poor souls will find only grief and disappointment in this life, and, God forbid, eternal misery in the next. Take up your cross, my dear faithful, and say, "Begone, Satan," to these occasions. Follow the path of virtue, for the Lord thy God shalt thou adore, and him only shalt thou serve. Serve Jesus Christ. Live your life carrying your cross after him, and you will have peace and true happiness in this life, and eternal happiness in the next. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.